Okay, we're gonna get started then. I'm gonna open up in prayer, and then my wife, who I always love that she ministers with me on Thursdays. I wish she didn't have to work, so she just got a voice like an angel, I think you would agree. And I'm just feel honored today and humbled. I just want you, all of you guys and gals, to know I really love you, and been praying that God would just use me to edify you today, challenge you to comfort and just edify. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another week that we live in a country with freedom. We thank you for a place to come and assemble together, that the church can come together. The building is not the church, it's us, the body of Christ. And I pray your Holy Spirit will just have his way today, Lord. I offer my body to you, Lord, my all, that you might speak through me and just touch all of our hearts and our minds, God. You know what we're going through, what we need. It's comfort, rebuke, correction. And I know you're training us, Lord, through your word. I pray that you'll just bless everyone through the song that Mary sings unto you about your amazing grace it is, Lord. And we just want to praise you and thank you for blessing us with every spiritual blessing. Thank you for life in Christ. Thank you for freedom from the law, from sin, from death, from Satan. And thank you for the freedom to serve you in and through your grace by your Holy Spirit. May Christ be glorified today, and anything done here, Lord, it's to your glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. So, here's Mary.
Hi. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious is that grace of years, the hour I perceived. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God for amazing grace.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I like the way she sang that end, because we all sort of have different personalities and we sort of praise God differently. Some are strong, I'm kind of outward and expressive, and some are quiet, you know. Some will like to clap their hands and some just like kind of tap their toes, you know. But God's looking not at the outward expression, but it's from our heart of worship. So today, the name of my message is Job's Questions Answered. And I'm dedicating a little story to the pastor. I'm not too good at jokes and that, but there was two gangsters in Chicago, and the one got killed. So his brother went to Father O'Leary, and he said, "I'd like you to do the service for my brother and say something, you know, good about him." The father said, "He was low down. He's a murderer, drug dealing, scumbag, just low down. Murderer, robber, thief, embezzler." And his brother said, "Look, I'll give you $1,000. Just say one good thing about him." So the father said he could use it for the orphanage. So he said, "All right." So at the funeral or the wake, the father said, "So-and-so was a rotten, low-down scoundrel that you don't want your kids to be like. But compared to his brother, he's a pretty good person. $1,000. And you know, that's humor, but it's true. People compare themselves to others, and it's always, especially very moral or religious people. Romans chapter 1 and 2 sort of deals with that. And there's always somebody worse than them. Murderers, rapists, thieves, you know. But God's Word tells us the only way we're made right with God is what? By grace. Amazing grace, it truly is. We never want to forget, even though we're saved eternally, where we come from. We were dead in our sins, in the uncircumcision of our sinful nature. We were enemies in our minds, as evidenced by evil works. Might have been moral, but spiritually dead. See, salvation isn't just forgiveness. That's half the gospel. Salvation is what? Not only Christ died, that dealt with the sin issue, and also the power of sin issue. The cross spoke the power of sin. But if we were dead, says when we are dead, he made us alive. Salvation is spiritual life, and we'll see that in the message. So, you know, God's Word is progressive. Job is supposed to be, scholars believe, the first, the oldest book in the Bible. And you see, Abraham knew more than Job. And David knew more than Abraham. You know, Moses knew more than Abraham. And then the 12 apostles knew more than they did. But then it comes to Paul. He knew more than they did. Something that God kept secret, that mystery. And you know, we need to rightly divide the word, don't we?
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. All right, thank you. Appreciate a little feedback. Remember, I used to be a Pentecostal. And you know what the mystery is basically? It's about Christ. Christ in you, your hope for glory. And there's a lot of details about it. But it's Paul focuses the whole, everything of grace is because of Christ. Praise God. So Job had a question. Go to Job 16, 1 to 3. It's just before Psalms. Oh, I didn't give the date, did I? Today is what, the 8th? It's 9-8-2013. We're at Faith Bible Church in the Adult Sunday School. And I'm Paul A. Baalbek III. I'm an alcoholic. Oh, I did that Thursday if everybody's here. Wrong class, right? Just joking. I'm a child of God. So, okay, everyone's got it. You know, it's... To a Bible teacher, a preacher, pastor, it's music when you hear them pages. You know people are being Bereans and searching the scriptures, see if these things be so. You know, Job had some terrible people that were supposed to be encouragers, encouraging him and instructing him. And Job says, and you know, you find yourself, do you find yourself in the Bible? With Peter, when he denied Christ, you say, oh no, no. What about you when you don't share because you're embarrassed? When we don't share with people, when we don't stand for stand up and lovingly share about the mystery with believers, because we, you know, how about the Pharisees? Self-righteous. You ever look down on somebody? So you find yourself. So we can find ourselves here with Job. And what I want to say is, their counsel was terrible. And today, if something's wrong in your life, what do they say? Oh, because you got sin in your life, unconfessed sin. So you got a 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, how, you know, that's a scripture to an unbeliever. How many times you need to be cleansed of all unrighteousness? That's a lack of not rightly dividing the word, one thing. And Paul says, what? We have redemption. You possess that. You live in forgiveness, the forgiveness of sins. Or you'll get teaching, they'll say, oh, you know, it's demonic. Your struggles are demonic, and you got the demon of lust, or the demon of this and that, you know. Terrible, terrible counsel. It's because not knowing this word in context and rightly divided, usually, not understanding the grace of God or what salvation truly is. So in Job chapter 16, verse 1, then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. And to me, that's a lot of teaching out there today. Shall vain words, or words, in the New King James, it says words of wind. Shall vain words have an end? Or what emboldeth thee that thou answerest? He's saying, you're miserable comforters. Go to chapter 25, verse 4. And remember, God gave progressive revelation. You know, he didn't give all of his word at once. Even Paul received the mystery that was hid in other ages, or hid in the heart of God before the world was even created. And he unfolded that to him too. Remember in Corinthians, Paul says, I'll come the revelation. But by the time he wrote Ephesians, by the end of the book of Acts, he had received the full revelation of the mystery and all of our instructions, all of our doctrine. Job asks, how then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of woman? That's a good question. See, Job didn't understand the answer back here. You know how blessed you are? We have the answers now. Especially in the Apostles Paul's epistles. How can we be justified? We're born of woman. It says we were born in Adam, right? Born in sin. By one man came sin, and death by sin. So we're born in this world sinners. People go, no, I'm a good person. I'm very moral. I go to church every Sunday. And I go every time the doors are open. And I give 10%. Actually, sometime I give 15. And I don't go out on my wife. I don't cheat on my husband. I'm a good mom. I'm a good dad. I'm a very good person. I got to be right in God's eyes. It said, those in the flesh, in Adam, Bible says what? Those in the flesh cannot please God. Well, how then, like Job asked, how can we be righteous before God? Let's go to Paul and find the answers. Romans chapter 5. Therefore. Why does that say that? Therefore is there for a reason. It's because of what he just says. It connects. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Job asks what? How can a man born of a woman? We're born sinners. Now, what do dogs do? Bark, right?
Yeah.
Why?
They're a dog.
Why do elephants do their trump? Because they're an elephant. To get the truth. Train, yeah. What do dogs have? Baby dogs, right? What do elephants have? Baby elephants. What do rats have?
Baby rats.
Yeah. What does a sinner have?
Baby
sinners. Do you got to teach a child to be selfish?
No.
Mine! I see kids when I own my puppy store. People come in, and some of them kids, because they weren't lovingly disciplined, they were terrible. They'd hit their parents, spit at their parents. So you don't got to teach a child a lie. We're born that way. And we can't, a leopard can't change its spots. But here's the answer. How are we made right with God? Not by our works, because you're saved, what, Ephesians 2:8-9? You have been, and in the Greek, that means it's in the perfect tense. It happened at one time with continuing results. That means some versions will say have been, or the other one has the idea that you are. So and both of them are right. It happened in one moment of time. The moment you recognize, see, the gospel has a negative aspect to it, doesn't it? A man can't, or a woman can't be saved until they recognize they're a sinner. And that God is perfect. There's none righteous, no, not one, it says, right? It's scripture. Only God's good. And when you recognize you're a sinner, that I can't save myself. Because I could get moral. That's what religion does. It teaches moral. Being moral. And, you know, sometime I thank God that some unsaved people, hopefully they'll come to get saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, right division, the mystery. But sometime, like my wife, she was raised Catholic. And she's very faithful, and it bugs her if somebody fools around on their wife or husband. So that sort of put restraints. You know, and sometimes, because we won't do certain things, we look at other people and think, you know, look at that self-righteous Pharisee. But to tell you the truth, and Thursday nights we're dealing with, a little commercial here maybe, the ministries of the Holy Spirit in us and to us in the dispensation of grace. And we dealt with empowerment, the empowering of the Spirit, empowering us to love. We're containers, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, and God wants to express Himself, His love out of us, His righteousness, His truth. And the Holy Spirit empowers us to say no by grace to sin, say yes to righteousness. But it's out of love, and it's empowered by Him, and it's a joy. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, joy, all the way down to self-control. So, anyway, Nate, if you want to know more, come on out Thursdays. But it's the Holy Spirit who works in us through the Word of God, the Word of God that worketh in you. That idea energizes. As we get into the Word, we get the Word in us. The Holy Spirit in our spirit, teaching our mind, thereby controlling our emotions, because our emotions respond to our thoughts, thereby directing our will, not overruling it. That's where we come in. We make choices. God wants us to be full grown. You know, that idea of adoption is not so much, it's like the idea, it's not so much, there is that kind of idea there too. We got taken out of Adam's family into God's family, into Christ. But that's meaning is more when the father, you know what a bar mitzvah or cotillions that Latin people have, when they get a certain age. So when the father saw the son was at maturing at a certain age, they had an adoption, declared him to be a full-grown son with all rights. We like that, right? All them rights and privileges. Ooh, responsibility. Don't like that, huh? But that's what God wants us to do. Do the right thing because it's right. Because we trust the Father, because He loves us so much. He tells you He's not like Israel, gives all these rules, cold rules, but it was good for them because it kept it kind of kept their society and their, it had to do with their worship, but it was like little children. He gave them little things. For us, He allows us to make decisions. And He tells us, you're a full-grown son with all rights and privileges. You're a child of God. You're a member of the body of Christ. And we can choose to serve Him, and that's what God's looking for. You know that? Someone who has a will. And what's it say? It is God who worketh in you both to will and to do according to His good pleasure. It's Him who's doing it to us. We make our personalities available to Him. Because why? You say, yeah, but you don't know me. I remember sitting in church when I was in under legalism and just scooting down farther and farther in the chair. But you know what? I always had a heart. Lord, thank you, because I need this. I didn't know I didn't need legalism. But I want to know if something, there was an area in my life, because I wanted to be used by God. And so, sometimes we feel like, I can't tell anybody in church what I thought of, my actions, what I did, blah, 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 blah. But you know what? God's not looking at you by your failures. He's looking at you as His child. You're holy without blemish. If you're in Christ, you're holy without blemish, perfect in His sight. You're unconditionally loved. You're accepted in the beloved. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Hallelujah. You know, you're blessed. Don't sit around thinking about your problems. Because God has equipped us as more than overcomers, more than conquerors. The church ain't a hospital for victims. The church is a barracks for training, because there's war. Satan attacks our minds, and we got to have the sword of the Spirit. We got to put on, you know, do you wake up in the morning? I'm trying to do it more and more. And thinking about putting on the armor of God, do you realize we're in a war? And Satan's subtle and he's slick. And Paul said, let's not be unaware of his devices. You know, we're blessed. And we can walk victorious. And we don't always do it because we make bad choices. But just remember, like Martin Luther said, never think yourself apart from Christ. God never is dealing with you based on your sins. He dealt with your sins at the cross. He's dealing with you based on your identity in Christ. And you're justified. All right, let's go. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith. So how are you justified? Faith. Look in verse 9. Much more than now being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. So you got to recognize you're a sinner. Otherwise, why do I need a Savior? If I'm good, what's wrong with this picture of Christ on a cross, a bloody cross, a criminal's cross? Him who had no sin became sin for us. What? That we might become what? The righteousness of God in Him. Do you know you're the righteousness of God in Him? It's all in Christ. He's in you. You're in Him. You have union. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. We're seated there. Let me ask you something. You're right where you're at right now. Your head's there, right? Can your body be in the other room? No. Our head is seated at the right hand of God, and we're in Him. We're a part of Him. We're His body on earth. He wants to move and do things through us. What a privilege to be used by God. And I know I don't deserve anything. If I didn't understand justification, I couldn't get up here. Because every day I come up short. But see, we don't need to dwell. We get the wrong idea about temptation. we think, oh no, something's wrong with me. I'm tempted, or trials and tribulations. You know, there are all opportunities for God to express that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, His Spirit in us. Instead of freaking out and dwelling on the problems, dwelling on whether it be lust or self-unforgiveness or whatever, self-right. As soon as them wrong thoughts come, you got to know your identity. That's not me. Paul said, it's no longer I who does it, but sin in me. It's that sin nature. But when you know who you are in Christ, your identity, your union with Christ, then you say, no, that's not me. I know where that's come from. And Lord, see, offer your bodies, reckon yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now I got my focus on God. I ain't got it on my failures. Because whatever your mind focuses on, you're going to be controlled by that. And your emotions are going to respond to it. You start, more men than women, but if you start thinking about dirty thoughts, I'm telling you, your desires are going to follow through. If you're watching the wrong things, if you're reading the wrong things, a man, through his eye gate, he gets desires. Women more by touch. But whatever it is, what we don't want to keep our focus on that. It's like, Lord, thank you, I'm a new creation. I know that's not me. Hallelujah. I'm in your Son. Now am I focused what? My eyes are fixed on Christ, not on the problems. Amen. He said, therefore, being justified by faith, so faith what? In His blood, that He died for our sins. Not just knowing about it, it's trusting, believing that. A lot of people are brought up in church, and then they know all the Christian lingo, Christian tees, but they've never trusted. Says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. By Christ, we have access by faith. What? We can go before God, before His throne, with boldness. Not cockiness. Boldness means I know who I am. I'm a child of God. Bob George used to show this picture at some of the seminars. And it was President Kennedy's, was that John, his son? And you know what? They're having this meeting, something real important, and there he is playing under the desk. You know, he walked right past them guards. Nobody stopped him, you know why? He had access, he was his child. Nothing, Satan, not principalities, not powers, nothing in the past, today, the future can separate you from the love of God. We have access to God. When you're going through things, access them. Quit complaining. Quit talking about it. Start praying about it. We like talking about our problems, right? And what do? Just get more down and down. Then start getting pitiful. Yeah. We need to just praise God and take everything to Him. Be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing. But by what? Do you know fear and anxiety is a sin? Oh, for you who are a little bit of self-righteous. Oh, I don't do that. How could a Christian do that? You ever worry? Oh, let me back down out of here. I'm in the wrong church. Yeah. Be anxious for nothing but by prayer. So what do? When you're going through stuff, when you're tempted, right away, bam, get in the habit, a holy habit. Replace them stinking thinking with holy habits. Amen. But by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, thank you, Lord, I'm free. Thank you, Lord, you're working all things for my good. Amen. And you know what? Pretty soon, your emotions will respond to that. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, your psychiatrist can't understand it. Like I said, I think it was on Thursday, I'm writing a prescription, Philippians 4:4-6. I guarantee if you apply that, the peace of God that passes all understanding will protect your mind, your heart, your thoughts, and your emotions. You can't be a depressed person as you're continually thanking God. from the heart of gratitude. And out of that heart of gratitude, you offer not your abilities, your availability. God's not looking for abilities. He's looking for a heart that responds to His grace. So it's one thing to get it up here, all the doctrines of right division, and you think you got a grasp on grace, until grace has grasped your heart and it gets into your desires. And it don't got to have emotions, but many times it does. I get happy and joyful when I'm praising God and I'm thinking of all the blessings. And it gets into our feet and we're reaching out to people and we're forgiving people and we're there for people and we're sharing for people and we're glorifying God and God's expressing Himself out of us. Boy, if we only can get a little bit of a hold on what we have in Christ, that resurrection life, resurrection power, it will affect us so much and affect others. And we can say like Paul, I finished the race. Not, I got caught up in some erroneous teaching or 10 ways, the 10 disciplines of the Christian life and fasting for relief and all these winds of doctrines that pass through the church. But you stuck with grace. You stayed the course. You rightly divide the word. You shared it. You shared the clearness of the gospel. It's not by works. It's a gift. You receive it through faith. And to look back with Paul, or we can look back and what? Just say, what a waste. I was telling Mary today, a lot of pastors that even have come to grasp a little bit of an understanding of right division and grace, they won't teach it. You know why? They might lose their pension. Their churches, some of the little legalists might leave. But you know what? And they might, many of them are saved. Maybe some ain't. But at the judgment seat of Christ, the beam and steps for rewards, poosh, big old puff of smoke. Because if it's made on man-made techniques and built in the flesh, those in the flesh cannot please God. Ain't you glad we got a pastor who has been faithful? You know, I think about that sometimes. All these years, faithful to teaching right division, the mystery, calling us to walk in the Spirit, live responsibly, empowered by Christ. That he's faithful to this Word of God, teaching and preaching it, not watering it down. I'm thankful for that. And I think we're seeing now from him being faithful, because a lot of time when you plant seeds, some don't pop up right away, depending on what it is. Now you're seeing some growth in the church, and I don't care about numbers, but you're seeing people come to understand the mystery and want to learn and grow more. And I'm just thankful, appreciative to him, and thank God for blessing the ministry here. Now, in verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. You go, man, so we got to look at that. You know, Paul, are you nuts? I don't glory when I'm going through things. I don't like to go through tribulations. What are you, a sadist? Masochist. That's people who like pain? No. See, but if we look at life through humanistic eyes and philosophies, you can't glory in tribulation. All you can do is feel sorry for yourself. Why could Paul glory? He knew some stuff. Be not ignorant, brethren. The biggest denomination, right? The ignorant brethren. He says, not only that, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing what? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, the idea of perseverance. So as we're going through things, what? We think of it wrong. We think of it like when me and Mary were going through all that stuff, sometime, man, I was so beat down. I thought, you know, Satan throws them fiery darts, what Mary likes calling them doubting darts, and thinking she'd be better off without me. If it wasn't for me and us getting married, and if she wouldn't be going through all this stuff. And you just get beat down. And it's like, Lord, I don't understand this. But I took it to Him. I didn't take it out. Working out in other ways. Because if we hold things in, you push a lizard in the basement, you keep pushing more lizards, pretty soon there ain't no room and they come out like a big dinosaur and we explode in some area. But if we look at tribulations as something actually that's good, because it shows us, why do you study? Why'd you study in school? It's okay, you guys can give me feedback. It's Sunday school.
Learn.
Huh?
To learn.
Well, why'd you want to learn? What was the teacher going to give you?
Grade.
A test. If you weren't getting a test, why study? Well, we study this word. God's not giving us a test. We're going to be tested. He'll allow Satan. He'll allow, we live in a fallen world. He'll allow the sin nature to come against us, if you want. Why? So all the doctrine we've been taking in, so we can pass the test, so we come forth as gold. I'm writing a song. We're in a grace race. We're in a grace race. I'm running for the gold. I got to be bold. You know, one day we're going to go before the judgment seat of Christ for rewards. And I was thinking about that today. I'm like, Lord, that's something hard for me to grasp. You know why? Because anything good, any good that comes out of me is Christ. If you get blessed today, it's the Holy Spirit did it. All I was here is be available. I'm like, He's driving. I'm just in the front seat talking. You know? Praise God. And so these tribulations are an opportunity, what you've been studying, the doctrine you've been taking in, applying it to the details of our life. And then we find out with Paul, I become convinced, Paul said, right? Did he say, I kind of think... No, I become convinced. It's your fate now. It's not the pastors, it's not the Bible teachers, it's not your some theologians. It becomes yours. And you know what you can do in Christ. And you don't have to fall over like a little baby every time something happens and whining and crying. But you can be like Paul, rejoicing. How? Because God's working it for our good. Because look what happens. Also knowing that tribulation produces patience or perseverance. So it teaches us to keep going, not to be quitters. God doesn't want quitters. He wants us to be like Paul. Finish the race. So we get some, learn to persevere and not quit. We learn patience. Oh, that's convicting to me. I'm naturally... My wife, amen. And patience, what? Experience. You get some experience on your belt. Why? So you can know for yourself. And it says, the God of all mercy and comfort that comforts us in all of our tribulations, our troubles, that what? You might be able to comfort others who are going through it. If you don't go through nothing, how are you going to know how to help somebody? See, God will use you, and you become a tool in the hands of a mighty God. You become like that song. What was that? The violin? What was that song? The Master's Touch? Once the master got a hold of that violin, can't do nothing in that case. But boy, you get a master, and beautiful things come out of it. That's like us. When we're available and we're applying grace to our lives, we're responding to grace. We're living in dependence, because whatever you're in dependence on will control you. So when we're in dependence on Christ, what happens? He controls us. Not against our will. Because it's God who works in us both to will and to do. See, it's Him by His Holy Spirit doing it through us. And it's a joy. And then when you get your experience, hope. See, when you know you're going through things, You know, hope is an activator of the soul. People who you're gonna run, if there's not somebody right now going through something, or maybe somebody here is going through something. And why do people get real depressed? Because they have no hope. And I know, because experience. And I'm able to share with people with conviction, from my experience, how to come out of that. It's giving thanks, and it's like a swing. You know that momentum on a swing? If you've been depressed because of stinking thinking and wrong behavior, thinking patterns, it's going to take a while. Push truth in. What? You'll know the truth, and what? The truth will set you free. Keep pushing it in. Keep praising God. Keep giving them thanks. Sing. Praise, I think, breaks chains. Tell you the truth. I went to a church, a Grace Church. Won't mention the name of it, but I heard later on they started having some singing, but the people just wanted doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. Well, we need doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. But Paul talks about, when he's talking about filled with the Spirit, singing spiritual songs, hymns. See, it's music to our heart, to the Lord. That's a form of worship, but that's not what only worship is. If you're focused on God and you're praising Him, that's worship. But worship is what? Romans chapter 12. Offer your bodies. In view of God's mercy, God's loving kindness, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. You're holy and acceptable unto God. This is, in the Greek, the idea is your logical act of worship, service. It's just, Lord, here I am. I'm so thankful that You can use me. Use me to touch other people while I'm here, Lord. I don't want to waste my life and things that don't mean none for eternity and don't mean none for even while we're here. I don't want to get caught up in a bunch of some type of sinful lifestyle, because we can. Why does Paul say, walk in the Spirit and you won't fill lust of the flesh? Because the lust of the flesh are there. But when we're walking in the Spirit, when we're dependent on Christ, we're focused, we're in this Word, we're having a relationship. God talks to us through the Word, and we talk to Him through prayer in this wonderful relationship. We have access by the Spirit, right? By grace. Amen. Through the blood of Christ. And we're growing. And people see it. People will make fun of you, but who do they come to, unsaved people? Who do they come to when they need prayer? Look, they look, see if anybody's looking. Hey, can you pray for me, brother, sister? And then, you know, you're very humble. You don't say, what about yesterday when you were making fun of me? And you do it because you're glad for the opportunity. So hope is an activator of the soul. You want to help somebody come out of a suicidal despair or just down? You got to give them hope. And hope is in what? God's grace. The gospel of God's grace. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given to us. So it's the Holy Spirit. That's the fruit of the Spirit, right? He wants to express God's love through us. See, we don't think when somebody does something to us, that's an opportunity. See, the flesh says, again, like me, in... if I walk in the flesh, somebody hits me, I'm going to hit you three times. Three in the face and one kick, I can't say, in the lower extremities. Because you'll think twice before you hit me again, because that's how we were in the hood. See, but what did Christ do? He suffered so much pain on that cross for us. And so, when somebody does something to us, it's the hardest thing. You have to walk by faith and not sight and not feelings. To choose to forgive them. Why? Forgive as you've been forgiven. As dearly loved children, be imitators of God. God gave His Son. God demonstrated His love in this, His own unique love. While we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. So we choose to take that opportunity when somebody does something to us. Here's an opportunity to show grace. Thank you, Lord. Right? And you're rejoicing, and the person's like, why are they being so nice to me after? Look at all these things I keep doing. They just keep loving me. Because they're seeing the love of God. And then people go, that person's got some I know I ain't got. And I think I want it. I'm going to talk to them a little bit more. I got 2 minutes. Go down to verse 9. Don't you love the much mores of Paul? God can do exceedingly, abundantly above all we ask or think. Anything you could imagine. When you trust God and walk just in faith, believing Him, making yourself available to Him, a heart of gratitude, you know what? He can do more than you can ever imagine in your life. And Paul always has a much more, not a much less legalistic gospel. Being now justified by His blood, we shall be safe from wrath through Him. We're going to be safe from the tribulation period after the rapture, after 3.5 years in that, when God pours His wrath out on a Christ-rejecting world. And not only that, God's wrath was poured out on Christ. He has no more anger towards us. God don't get angry with you. I used to think He did. That's why one of the reasons I got so depressed. Thank God so much for understanding His grace and people that He used to point it out to me. Then I researched it myself. And it's through Christ. Everything is through Christ. For if when we were enemies, that's what we were, don't ever forget where God brought you from, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. So what did the death do? It brought us reconciled. We were separated because of our sins. It brought us back. It changed our relationship. That's forgiveness and justification. But here is salvation. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. We're not saved by the death of Christ. We're forgiven by the death of Christ. But if we were sinners, spiritually dead, Ephesians says, when you were dead in your sins, right? If we were dead and Christ forgave all of our sins, cleansed us, what would we still be?
Dead.
Just a corpse. Spiritual corpse. What's a dead man need?
Life.
What did the resurrection bring?
Life.
Resurrection life. That's what we have. God didn't leave you on your own to live this Christian life. It's what? It's no longer I who lives, Paul said. I live. Like you see me up here teaching. But I'm not trying to do it in my own strength. I'm in dependence on the Holy Spirit in me to express truth out of me. It's no longer I live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live in this body, this flesh, I live by what? Faith. Total dependence, trust on the Son of God. And I'll end with this. Do you know how you live the Christian life? See, if you read the Bible, you'll know. What's Colossians 2:6, I think, says? Therefore, as you began in Christ Jesus, how'd you begin? Dependence, trust, faith, continue. The whole Christian life is lived out by reckoning yourself dead to sin, because God said it, and alive to God, and Christ expressing Himself out of you. So thank you for listening. I hope it was edifying and challenging and comforting. And you know, sometimes I get nervous when I'm going to do something. I want to be so accurate with the Word. But I always say, Lord, today I was thinking, You can do exceedingly abundantly above all I could ask or think. So just do Your thing, God. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You so much for the access we have because of the blood of Christ. And it says we have access by the Spirit. It's like He takes us by the hand and brings us to get our focus on You, Lord, to develop our relationship with You. Thank You for Your Spirit. I thank You that You didn't leave us on our own, because we'd surely mess it up. Thank You for giving us an identity in Your Son as believers, holy without blemish, perfect in Your sight. Thank You for accepting us in the Beloved. And Lord, I pray if there's one, maybe they've been moral, or maybe they've been just out on the streets, but they're sinners, and those in the flesh cannot please You, God. I pray they would recognize that it was only one sin that caused Adam to spiritually die, that Your Spirit left him. They would say he only took a bite of some fruit, but it was rebellion. It was independence of you, Lord. And that's what the whole human race, the fallen human race, is trying to live independent of you. And that's the origins of sin. I pray, Father, that they would recognize that and recognize that Christ died for sinners. And they would realize that He's dying their death. And that moment, you'll take them out of the fallen human race, place them into a new organism of end-life people with resurrection life, spiritual life. And Lord, just use us. Help us to apply what we're learning here. And I pray for the church message in a few minutes. I pray you just anoint from within the pastor and just challenge us, Lord, by your grace to apply things. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you for listening. And for coming.